start. Well, today's Free from Darkness, and Joe asked me to preach on this today. And for those who don't know, I've only been a Christian for 10 years, and I'm 46 and a half years old. Right? So I spent at least 36 and a half years in darkness. Now, for 30 of those years, Tina has been by my side. And it's 30 years today. It's 30 years today. I'd like you to stand up, Tina. Come here. Come here. Come here. Come here. Come on. No, come here. And I've got a little something for you for 30 years today.
Oh, you silly man.
And I would actually like to say, like, how did I meet you, Tina?
I was 15, Neil was 16, and he fell out of a tree and landed on top of me.
Why did I land on you?
The choice was to land on me or to land in the River Severn. And I suppose you just...
Yeah, that was it, really. So, I'm just going to read you the Bible verse, Colossians 1, verses 9 to 13. So, we have continued to pray for you ever since we first heard about you. We ask God to give you a complete understanding of what he wants to do in our lives, and we ask him to make you wise with spiritual wisdom. Then, the way you live will always honor and please the Lord, and you will continually do good, kind things for others. All the while, you will learn to know God better. We also pray that you will be strengthened with his glorious power, so that you will have all the patience and endurance you need. May you be filled with joy, always thanking the Father who has enabled you to share in the inheritance that belongs to God's holy people who live in the light. For he has rescued us from darkness, and he has brought us into the kingdom of his dear Son. The first bit says that we've been continued praying for you. And Tina prayed for me. She was always a Christian. And she prayed for me constantly. Absolutely, constantly. Every day. Yeah, every single day. I'm just going to give you a brief summary of testimony so you know where I'm coming from, for those of you that haven't heard it. For those of you who have, please bear with me. I'll cut it really short. when I was born, I wasn't wanted at all, and I was adopted, and things were all right to start with. And then the family that I was in started to abuse me, and I was bullied at school as well. You might not think it now, but I was. And there just came a time during when I was about in between 14, 15, I thought, yes, mate, I'm not going to hurt anymore. If anything, I'm going to do the hurting because I was just totally and utterly sick of it. And so I learned how to fight. I became, in the end, a semi-professional kickboxer, and I was all right at it. I used to do a bit of illegal street fighting as well. I got the sack from every job that I've ever had, apart from the army. Only because they couldn't. And I even got Tina the sack from one job, which was quite funny. She wasn't even there at the time. So in the end, I joined the army because there wasn't any more jobs left. And I had to take the discipline, I had to take everything that was going, right, because there wasn't anywhere left for me to go. So what I did was, I knuckled down and I ended up being, I was always good at fitness. So I was best at PT, I was best shot, I was best combat infantryman. And so my life was quite good in that. I served with Special Forces, I went to Northern Ireland, Bosnia, Kosovo, Iraq. And it was all right. But I was masking a lot of stuff through drink, you know, stuff that I'd done. And you just try to hide everything. And you know, used to drink eventually just to get to sleep. And I was a broken man, really, and it was just all masked with drink and stuff. And I went on a holiday because teams, as I said, teams are Christian, and we'd offered a Christian holiday. I said, I will go, right, but I ain't doing any of that Christian stuff, you know, not a chance. Sorry, love, you know. And but when I was there, I'd realise exactly what I'd become. Instead of being a role model, I was literally no more than a lying, cheating, thieving scumbag. I was a horrible person. And I really wanted to end it all. And I went to Reflection one night, which is really soon. And the first Matthew 11, verse 28.
Morning, Dad.
Morning, Lee. Laid, and I will give you rest. And I had this stone. We were given this stone when we went in. And when the time was right, that's the size of the stone, by the way. I'm not just going, okay. All right, that's the size of the stone, yeah? When the time was right, we were to put this down at the foot of the cross. Well, when I thought my time was right, I was like, God, if you're there, I need you now. And I went to lift this stone, and I could not lift this stone at all. You know, I was a big guy back then. I could lift a lot of weight. And I just couldn't lift this teeny tiny pebble. And when I did manage to put it down at the foot of the cross, it was like God saying to me, no, that's all the weight that you've been carrying around with you. You know, and I felt real love for the first time, like a fatherly love. And then I became a Christian and, well, I'm here. Told you I'd cut it short. So, I know about darkness. I'd seen piles of dead bodies over in Bosnia and stuff. It's like something over that you'd see from Second World War, you know, and you'd see piles from piles. And I felt the pain of being victim of robbery and stuff by my own family. It can be drink, you know. It can be pornography. I can go on and on and on with stuff that's darkness. And the world often seems to think that this is normal and natural, but it isn't. It's like a portable prison that you carry around with you. I mean, I know there's many people here who's been in physical darkness, like in a wood at night, or waking up in a room that you know. And even then, you fall over stuff, don't you, in the room that you know. And you could have lived there for years. You know where the chest of drawers are. You know that that's there. And you just fall over it, don't you, because it's in darkness. And that upturned plug, oh. You know? And we don't recognise stuff that we should know, because it's in darkness. And I lived in darkness, and even though I was considered a role model, and even though I had people looking up to me, I couldn't be trusted. I was dominated, as well as dominating, by anger, such as road rage. And I was totally in there, and I did everything to extremes, standing on helicopter skids when they're off the ground, moving along the ground, and you're like that, 300 or 400 miles an hour, just looking out like that, just hanging on with your hand, like that, you know, wind through your hair. And as a kid, I used to climb cliffs and stuff, sheer cliffs with no equipment, just me and a pair of trainers. And so I always did it full on. So now, as a Christian, I'm full on. I pray for people in the street and everything. And the thing is, it's because I'm a new creature in Christ. You know, it's all or nothing, just like I was before. You know, it's gather or scatter. You know, God, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit is everything. If I don't love them first, and I don't love them fully, then I can't love my family like I should. I tried before with sort of like, I just thought it was like providing and stuff, but it's not that. It's so much more than that. But I've got to put the Lord above them, because if you don't, the devil is going to get in and he will attack you. If he doesn't attack you through you, he'll attack you through your family. And I'll do a quick war story now, actually. Right. What it was, right, I was in a place, a foreign country, and I was there, and we had to go and relieve people that were in this OP, or observation post. It wasn't one that was above ground, it was underground because it was covert, right, because it was with special forces and stuff. And you know when you've got to navigate, and you navigate to a six-figure grid, which is within 100 metres, yeah? Well, as a sniper, you've got to do it to an eight-figure grid, which is within 10 metres, right? It's really quite difficult. And it's dark, and I briefed my guys. There's only four of us in the middle of enemy territory, so it's really quite good. And so we're there, right? And I've got my route card, because I can't take a map, right? So I've got my route card, and what a route card is, it's like a thin piece of plastic with writing on, so that what I can do is at night I can hold it up to the stars and stuff, and I can see what my bearing is to where, the distance, what I'm going to see, and so I'm going like that every now and then, so I know exactly where I'm going or where I'm supposed to be going. And there's enemy about, so I'm walking along, patrol behind me, so I'm like, well, I've got a rifle and stuff, I'm not just like this. You know, and I'm like, and I go, now that's sign language. All right, any CCF lot in here? You won't have done that lot yet, will you? Right, do you know what that means? All right, yeah, it means halt. Enemy, that way. Break track, snap, ambush on the right-hand side. All right, so everyone knows what's going on that's behind me. All right, because they've just seen that, hopefully. And so we go in there to this little piece of cover to where we think we might be being followed. And then I'm like, and you've got to keep the noise really down. So I'm there, they're like, Neil. I go, what? It is like that, it is funny, it is. Like I said, there's nothing as funny as real life. You go, I think there might be somebody following us. So I just wait here for a bit. Oh, by the way, I've lost my pacing now. So I'm not sure what distance we are. So we're lost, basically. And they go, oh. When you're a leader, it's really hard, right? Because people look at you, right? And it's a really lonely place to be. Because you're there and they're all looking at you going, yeah, he's all right, he's got a plan. And you're thinking, really? And so you're there. And I go, right. I'm going to go off to see where we are, right? You come with me, Smudge. And I went, right, now when I come back, I'm going to come back in between that point there and that point there. I said, if there's firing, you'll know it's me coming back, because I'll be running, I'm not going to tell you what I said, I'm running really fast. And I'll have my arm stretched out like that. So you know, and my weapon is just pointing somewhere else. I see, no, it's me and the person behind me. Anyone else comes through there, not doing that, you need to literally fire at them and get out. So, we walk off, and, well, I'll find where we are and everything's all right. So, and the thing is, it's about being able to see in the dark. Now, when you're in dark, if I'm looking at Matt, and Matt's, I don't normally look at Matt in the dark, by the way. Right? if it's dark and I'm looking at Matt, right? Now, it's to do with the makeup of your eye. So that's the retina, right? My hand is the retina. In the middle, are all what they call cones. Yeah? Now, they're the cells that do all colour and stuff. So when you look at something, they're all in the middle. Around the outside are rods. So if I'm looking at Matt for the light to hit, what light there is, to hit on the rods, I've got to look. If I put a clock face on him with the nose being where his the middle hands are, right, I'd look at about 1 o'clock and I could see his face really quite well. That's how you see in the dark. All right? Physically, that's how you see in the dark. All right? You've got to leave it for about 15 to 20 minutes first. All right? So that when, you know, so your eyes start to get used to it. But have a play around with it. It's really good. So, if we can see in the dark physically, how do we see in the dark when it's all around us, guys? Well, it's in here, isn't it? And we, as Christians, are salt and light of the world. So, what's the darkness that we walk around when we're in other people? It's basically sin, to be honest with you. And we, as Christians, are the example. We're the salt. You know, we preserve life. Salt preserves life. It gives flavour to what you're eating as well. And we are light. Light shows the way. It shows the way. Other people, when they see us on the narrow path, we illuminate it for them. And no matter what anyone else tells you, right, like the world, there's nothing else. We are the salt and light of the world. There is no one else. It's us. It's us. There's nothing else. It's only us. And when we go round producing the fruit of the Spirit in our lives, and that fruit is really important because of seeds in fruit. And when we're nice to people, it softens the soil of their hearts. So that when we sow the seeds of the gospel in there through the fruit of the Spirit, they take root, they grow, they produce after themselves. And we are Christ's ambassadors here on this earth. Now, ambassador, right? When this was written in Roman times, so an ambassador is based on a Roman general. Because when a Roman general went to conquer a country and there was the Roman general there, he was Caesar there. So when they saw him, it was like Caesar. So when Caesar visited that country, they would treat him exactly the same as what they would treat them. So we are Christ's ambassadors on this earth. And so whenever you go round in your daily life, you are an ambassador for Christ. Is it hard? Yeah. Absolutely. The amount of times I want to punch idiotic people, right, it's unreal. But I don't. Not because I'm not that person anymore, but our fight isn't against them, right? Our weapons aren't carnal, are they? They're mighty in the bringing down of strongholds, guys. For example, if you're at work and you're being persecuted and because you're different, or you're at school and you're persecuted because you're different. There are days, guys, when it can be like walking through a fire. But the fire isn't the issue. And it never is. It's who's in the fire with you. You know, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego. Your example is a shining light. And you are the city set on a hill. Especially when you don't react to them. You know, I mean, we are delivered and we're free. And if we say, well, I don't think so, you know, it might be all right for you, but I've done a lot more than that. Well, basically, you're saying that Christ's sacrifice isn't good enough. And that's just a false humility and pride. Because you are delivered and you are free. You know, it's exactly like that song, Every Giant Will Fall, said, you know, every chain of the past is broken in two. Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter what you've done. Does it hurt at times? Oh, yeah, big time. You know, if I sit and think about my friend blowing his head off, then, yeah, I can get into that state of mind and get hurt, yeah. If I think about being betrayed by my family, yeah. There are some months when I have to forgive them daily. But I do. Because with Christ, you've got a choice. You've got a choice, right? And whether you like it or not, right? The excuse of, well, you don't know what they did. They said that. They hurt me. Well, do you know something, guys? Get a grip. It's that simple. Get a grip. What happened to deny yourself and what happened to being a new creature in Christ? We are Christians. If we have problems doing that sort of stuff with each other sometimes, how are we going to do it out there? How are we going to do it outside this building? I've heard excuses and I've even used them as well, especially when I was first a Christian. But honestly, when I look, I think that any of our excuses are good enough. They're just not. You know, forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. You know, and I look and I think sometimes, would I want to be forgiven by God like I've forgiven some people? No, not at all, man. I want undying forgiveness, you know, without conditions. Things do hurt, and forgiveness is a journey. But as I said to a young guy that was on the holiday, who was giving me excuse after excuse after excuse, I just prodded him in the chest, and I told him, suck it up, princess, and get a grip. Be a real man for a change. Right? You've got to have some straight talking sometimes, guys. You know, it's your turn now. So if you're finding it difficult, no one said it'd be easy. No one said it'd be easy. Suck it up and get a grip. Do what Jesus told you to do. I can guarantee you, right, that I was in a really bad place, possibly more than anyone here. And if I can do it, then you can. Absolutely. You know, you're not using your strength. It's Christ's strength. It's his strength for you, is it? Not yours. You know, in Colossians, 1 Colossians 11, it says, may you be strengthened with all power according to his glorious might for all endurance, patience with joy. Yeah. Be joyous. Yeah. It's a weapon of spiritual warfare. If you wait for every single circumstance in your life to be perfect before you decide to be happy and joyful, you're going to wait for a bloody long time. Right? Sorry. Just seen Joe's face drop. Do you apologise? You know, you'll never experience it, you know. But we as Christians, you've got the best news of all. You're going to heaven. Doesn't matter what you've done, you're going. Right? That's got to be the best news ever. Yeah. You know, they called it the gospel, the good news. Yeah. You know, you will experience hardship. Yeah. Just because you're a Christian, it doesn't mean to say that your life's going to be rosy. Yeah. Not at all. In fact, it says you're going to be persecuted in one way or another. Yeah. Be joyful. Because when you become a Christian, did anyone tell you that now you're a target for Satan in a spiritual war? You really are. You're a legitimate target now. When you became a Christian, you didn't join the love boat. You joined a battleship, man. Tell you, you joined a battleship. If you're being attacked, right, and suffering hardship, it's because Satan thinks and knows that you can do wonderful things for the kingdom. That's a compliment, really. You know? You will be strengthened with all power, endurance, and patience. I know it, because that's what it says. You know, when me and the guys go and play football on a Wednesday, you know, if somebody comes and they're not just doing anything with the ball, you don't mark them, do you? Because they're not doing anything. But when they start getting the ball and they start coming towards your goal, right? You have to mark them. You have to tackle them. That's exactly what Satan's doing to you. When you've got the ball and you're going for it, for God, right? That's you, right? You are going to get attacked in so many different ways. People all over the world know my testimony, and there are testimonies in here, in this church, and all over the world that are far better than mine. But it's not really about what I went through or what anyone else went through, right? Because all the time, it's just about what Christ went through, you know? Because that's all it's ever been about. And as you know, I'm an evangelist. I preach the gospel or the good news, you know? Because it is the best news. Honestly, it is, right? So you've got to be joyful in that. And when you're joyful, you're never in darkness. Whether it's anxiety, depression, anger, addiction, stress. If you're in proper joy and taking a hold of that fact, right, in Christ, then it doesn't matter about the people around you. Those feelings just really do melt away. I know, I've been there. It's hard sometimes. You know, I say days, sometimes it can be weeks, sometimes months, but they melt away. In Colossians 13, it says, He has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son. You know, so who the Son sets free is free indeed. You know, has Jesus set you free? Yeah, absolutely. Do you live by faith or by feelings? You live by faith, don't you? You've been delivered already. You've got dominion, guys. You know, you're the head and not the tail. You're above and not beneath. You know? I mean, like, when I went to preach under Satan's statue in Italy, I went there on purpose, man. There was a whole crowd of us and no one else went. But I did. And I say, why? You know, it's not because I'm mad, right? It's because I'm a soldier. But I didn't go in my strength because I wouldn't be a match for him. You know, as a soldier and a soldier in Christ, you know exactly what resources that you've got at your disposal. You know what friendly forces are. You know who's backing you up. You know what's there. You know what support you can call on. Well, in the spiritual war, right, you've got Jesus. He's already got the victory. You're fighting from victory. You know, don't be disheartened. You know, get a grip. You know, you've already won. You know, you might be distracted on the way. You know, I've told you about the people who come and try to mug me, you know, as I was on my way, you know, just by the statue, you know, and my Mr. Happy t-shirt, you know. Got a bit of a shock that day, didn't he? And I'm in more of a war now than I have ever been in. Ever. Spiritual war. The victory has been won now. I'm fighting from victory. See, too many people, too many Christians living in the past. We all have a few bad days. Sometimes weeks. You know. But you're free. You've got faith. You know. You've got to take it. You've got to take it. Hang on. If I said to Paul, take that, take it, take it, take it by faith, take it, take it, see, taken by faith. Sorry, Paul. You know, and it's, but that's a thing, you know, it's, you've got to take it, you know, submit yourselves to God, resist the devil and he'll flee. That's what it says. Right? There's nothing else, really. And I suggest that if you are resisting the devil and he's still there, no matter how painful, you've got to do the first bit, man. Submit yourselves to God. Cut whatever it is out of your life. It's similar to circumcision in the way of cutting away the flesh. But in Christ, you've got that as soon as you surrender to him. But you've got to take it by faith. It is worth it, you know. Fully surrender, all or nothing. Gather or scatter. Greater is he that is in me that is in the world. Come on, guys. When I was in darkness, yeah, I did not know that I was in the dark. But I'm free now. And people can come round me and say, yeah, you know, people that come out and they talk about Neil, but we understand how you must feel, it's okay, and Neil, it's all right, you know, and no one wanted you when you was a child, you know. People have stolen from you and abused you. You know? You've murdered people, Neil, you know? I could tick almost every social box, really. And it's all there, guys. It's written down. The facts written down. But really, you know, I'm choosing some other facts, to be honest with you, that are written down. You know, I wasn't wanted from birth, really. You know, God picked me out from my mother's womb, man, to tell me exactly what I'm doing. You know, people have stolen from me, abused me. Well, God's got me in the palm of his hand. Yes. He turns everything round for my God. Murdered people. Well, I've been forgiven for everything. Yeah. All my sin through Jesus Christ and what he did at Calvary. Yeah. Guys, do not let the world and its circumstance and what it has done to you become bigger than what Christ has done for you. Yeah. You are free from darkness. Yes. And you need to take it by faith and wake up to what God has done for you. Yeah. I'm going to show you a little video clip now, and I need you to contemplate on it. Do you enjoy that? It's cool, isn't it? And I find it so poignant, you know, because it doesn't matter what you've been through. It doesn't matter. You are redeemed. You are made whole. You're back to what Christ created you for. It's that simple. And you've got to take it. You've got to take it by faith because you are free from darkness. Ask if you'd like to bow your heads. And I'd just like to know that if anyone is there and they feel the effects of darkness and people that don't always feel that you can fight anymore, then I'm here to tell you can, because it's not your strength that you're fighting from at all. It's Jesus's. It doesn't matter what you're going through. It's Jesus' strength that you need. And it's his that does the fighting. And Lord, I ask you if you can come right now, and we'll have a time for some ministry and prayer in just a second. But if anybody's got anything that they need and within their lives or something that may be going on, then please feel free to raise your hand and we'll pray for you. Lord, for those people with their hands raised, Lord, I ask you to please give them your endurance and your power, Lord, in order so that they know that they are free from darkness, and it doesn't matter about the circumstance that they're in. Give them that real joy, because when that real joy comes in, there's that all of those feelings that we sometimes live by fade away when there's that real joy in you, Lord. And we ask that in Jesus' name, Lord.